Whenever we have the opportunity to give a lesson, whether we're teaching or whether we're preaching or we're just working with one another, I think we have to take into context the status of our lives and to see where we are individually. I think many of those that stand here in the pulpit often provide lessons, not so much for the congregation, but lessons that will benefit the congregation, but also look at the things that they have in their own lives. I thought of a few different titles. I thought about sharing the lesson that I prepared a few weeks ago when we had canceled services because of the snow. But today I decided I wanted to look at learning from mistakes and failures. And if you will follow along, I've got quite a few slides. The slides primarily for this first lesson are going to be graphics, images from a site that I felt I kind of wanted to share that help tell the story here. One of the things that we struggle the most for as Christians is trying to achieve success in being like Christ, trying to be like God, trying to be like the apostles, tried to be like Christ, and often we fail, and sometimes that's probably one of the biggest things that sticks with us. So as we start off here, as I have on the board behind me, I wrote, "The mistakes, missed opportunities, and failures have impacted leaders and nations for centuries." And for this first lesson, this is what we're going to be looking at. Trying to live as Christ can be a struggle sometimes for life. And I think we could probably all shake our heads to that. If you don't shake your head at that and you think you've got things taken care of, I want to get more time to spend with you because I struggle. Both in life and in the Christian role, success is not given. Success takes effort. And to illustrate that, I'm going to be going through 20 great mistakes in history, things that we've probably all heard before. I made a condensed version of this. There's a much longer version of this same list I found online. But I felt out of the many different sources that I looked to, this one kind of touches on some of the aspects. And for all these, while I may not have it on each slide, what I would like for each of you to do is look at the slide, look at the situation, consider the leader or the leaders or the nations that are going through these difficult times, dealing with mistakes, dealing with missed opportunities, and dealing with failures, and apply that in your mind to you. Think about how you could have been these people, how you could have been this leader or this person that had this moment to triumph and failed, and think about how it could maybe be factored into our lives as Christians. Again, there's quite a few slides. I told Nick today I'm going to start going fast. I'll try to be finished on time, and I just encourage you all to follow along. Again, the first lesson is primarily a history lesson. On our second lesson, we're going to be making more spiritual application. So please follow along. Kids, if you want to, if you've got a piece of paper and you want to try to write down some of these slides, I challenge you to try to do that. So number 20, we'll be counting down here, and necessarily think in both cases, I start with some of the worst situations and work backwards. Number 20 on our countdown of 20 great mistakes in history. Captain Edward Smith crashes the Titanic into an iceberg. The Titanic, which was known as an unsinkable ship, sank in just 4 days into its maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York in 1912. In the catastrophe which led to a loss of $7.5 million, it is believed that the crew ignored the warnings of icebergs along their path and went to hit the ice. The result, the death of 1,517 souls after the right side of the Titanic scraped the iceberg that she sank to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. I think we've all heard this story many times, but all it took for a ship that had been so well planned, so well built, and so well staffed was one mistake, and people paid for it. Number 19, this is a little bit more on the less serious side, but still, for the owners of these companies, still important. Number 19, Blockbuster misses an opportunity to own Netflix. It's hard to imagine that back in the day, people used to line up at rental stores and get movies. Half the congregation understands this, half of them have no idea what I'm talking about. Blockbuster went bankrupt after the emergence of online videos, streaming service like Redbox, Hulu, and Netflix. But back in 2000, Netflix had made a proposal to Blockbuster by asking the rental store to partner with it. Reed Hastings, the then Netflix CEO, approached John Antioco, Blockbuster CEO, and asked if he could sell him Netflix for $50 million. The idea was that Netflix would manage Blockbuster's brand online, while Blockbuster would promote Netflix in their physical stores. Just recently, Netflix reached 50 million subscribers, and its services became available in 40 countries. Antioco may have been tough, but he lacked the vision to see where the home video industry was headed. Number 18, the destruction of the Alexandria Library. The Great Library of Alexandria was born in 283 BCE, as they put it here. For years, scholars and librarians filled it with thousands of scrolls. The library was frequented by academics from the Middle East and in the Mediterranean, some of whom came to give their lectures and to seek knowledge from its many texts. It was one of the largest and most significant libraries in the ancient world. But hundreds of years after its establishment, the world was shocked to learn that Julius Caesar burned it down in an attack. Though the historical accuracy of this claim is controversial, there is a consensus that the library was burned and many scrolls and books were destroyed. Its destruction became a symbol of destruction of knowledge and culture. I think some of you that know more about this is just more of a catastrophe than what this story goes on to portray. Basically, all of recorded human history had some element to play in this library. So again, another one of the many things lost. Number 17 on our list, the grade school math error leads to the disappearance of the Mars orbiter. You guys will like this, especially some of those that are my age. In 1999, a simple math error led to the vanishing of a Mars orbiter that cost NASA $125 million. The craft had been designed for NASA by Lockheed Martin, but was lost in space because the NASA team used the metric measurement system, while Lockheed used the English measurement system. This inconsistency led to a mismatch that caused the craft to malfunction and get lost in space. The two different measurement systems made it impossible for the craft's navigation system and coordinates to be sent from the team in Denver to the team in California. As a result, it was lost. Number 16 on our list, Napoleon's invasion of Russia. On June 24, 1812, Napoleon, with an army of 600,000 men, invaded Russia with a plan to end the war within 20 days by engaging the Russians in fierce battle. He'd prepared wagons that would carry 30 days' worth of food, and he thought the road network in Russia would support his strategy. The first troops were able to get the best food, but as more troops passed through the same areas, there was less to be consumed. The Russians made things difficult by using a scorched earth policy as they retreated, meaning basically would burn what they had behind them. As time went by, the soldiers became weaker, and as they had to move further from the roads to search for food, the horses were also starving. Napoleon's warfare meant that he had to move his men as fast as possible to where they were needed most. Therefore, he had to move his army over long distances and bring them together only when necessary. By the time that he arrived in Moscow, over 200,000 of his soldiers were either hospitalized or dead. In Moscow, he discovered that most people had been evacuated and the winter was in full swing. There's much more to this story, but another loss of not calculating what you're getting into. Number 15, and many of these I did not hear, so that's why I choose this list over some others. Four Pests Campaign. The four pests that needed to be eliminated, talking about China, were sparrows, rats, mosquitoes, and flies. Mao Zedong had initiated the hygiene campaign because he saw a need to exterminate these pests. The action was part of the Great Leap Forward that was trying to change agricultural farming in China. Sparrows, mostly Eurasian tree sparrows, were notorious for eating grains and needed, in their minds, to be exterminated. The citizens did everything that they could to end the menace, tearing down sparrow nests, shooting them down from the sky, clanging pots and pans together, banging them to scare them until they fell out of the sky from exhaustion. The result was near extinction of sparrows in China. By April 1960, the citizens realized that the rice yields were substantially reducing instead of increasing. This was largely because the birds had been eating the insects, which now descended on the grains uninhibited. Mao put an end to the campaign and replaced sparrows with bedbugs, but it was too late. With no sparrows in sight, the locust population became uncontrollable and worsened the ecological problems. In fact, things got out of control to an extent where the Chinese government started importing sparrows. The high population of insects, in addition to the misuse of poisons and the effects of widespread deforestation, were significant contributors to the Great Chinese Famine that took place between 1958 and 1961. During the time, it is estimated that some 30 million people lost their lives due to starvation. The numbers vary, with some claiming that the death toll may have reached 45 to even 78 million people. Number 14. Some of us saw this, some of us may have read about it. Faulty equipment causes the Challenger to explode. The Challenger, a NASA space shuttle, blew up on the morning of January 28, 1986, just 73 seconds after its launch. Sadly, all seven crew members on board succumbed to the explosion that translated into a loss of $5.5 billion at the time. I don't know about where you were at the time, but I was in class at elementary school in Vandalia and saw that happen live on TV. Critics and space enthusiasts blame NASA for the faulty design. Apparently, the O-ring between the segments of the solid rocket boosters were known to leak under certain circumstances, and this information had been available from the beginning of the shuttle program. The leaking would cause the O-ring to erode, and this resulted in poor sealing. The result was that combustion gases would escape, and that was extremely dangerous. Engineers, both from the Marshall Center and those working for Morton Thiokol, had predicted the problem, but their concern had not been taken seriously. Neither NASA nor Thiokol thought about the severity of the problem, and they were not willing to ground the shuttle fleet. In later years, the O-ring problem became more evident, but continued to be ignored, since it had not caused any disaster. And these kind of things are the ones that I want us to think about as we consider things spiritual. The tragedy became a reality because the O-ring would particularly be affected by extreme temperatures. And not listed in here, we all know what happened. They launched on a very cold morning, and as that thing took off, many of us recall seeing the flame burning, then finally blew up. Now, number 13, the Battle of Kranz. The Battle of Kranz from 1788, the Austrian army consisting of approximately 100,000 soldiers, was setting up camp around Kranz. The leading units of the army crossed the Temes River to check if the Ottoman Turks were present. They found that the Turks were not there, but they ran into a group of Tsigani merchants who offered to sell them schnapps, a type of strong liquor. The troopers bought the schnapps and immediately started drinking. As they were merrymaking, an infantry came and also demanded the alcohol, but the first group declined and an argument ensued. Things took a dangerous turn when one soldier fired, causing the two groups to engage in fierce battle. The commotion led to confusion, and the original group fled the scene thinking that the Ottoman army was about to attack. Other members from the infantry also left the scene. The infantry was mostly made up of Italians, Austrians, and Croats, most of whom did not understand each other. The incident, which took place on the 17th of September, 1788, led to the death and wounding of 10,000 Austrian soldiers, a weakness that made it easier for the Ottoman army to recapture Kranz when they arrived 2 days later. The historical accuracy of this incident is disputed, but what is clear is that the Austrian army fought a battle with itself and lost 10,000 men. Again, just keep thinking about these things spiritually. Number 12. I don't even know how many of you remember Excite, but they were another search engine a while back. Excite misses a chance to acquire Google for less than $1 million. Around 1999, Excite ranked number 2 among search engines, while Google still struggled to establish a presence. During the time, Larry Page made an offer to Excite to buy Google for $750,000. But he demanded that Excite would replace its technology with Google's. This may have been the reason for Excite to decline the offer. Back then, Excite was a bigger force in the online world, while Google was lurking in the shadows. But Excite passed on the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to acquire one of the companies that would soon define the future of the Internet. Excite had recorded remarkable results, and it even merged with several other brands. But around 2001, the company started to record a decline. In March of 2004, Excite was bought by Ask Jeeves, now Ask.com. Initially, Larry Page and Sergey Brin had offered to sell Google for more, but they reduced the amount to $750,000 after George Bell, the then Excite CEO, declined the first offer. But Bell was still not interested. After being rejected, Google underwent multiple rounds of funding and continued to refine the search engine, managing to go public in 2004 while share costing $85 a share. Google shares have continued to increase in price over the years, and today the company records more than $50 billion yearly. Today it is among the top businesses in the world, racking up millions of dollars every month. Again, think about the situation some of these people, very smart people, had a chance to make an action and they did not take it. I have no idea why this picture is backwards, but it was, so it's not me. Number 11, Kodak delays to invest in digital camera technology. Kodak failed after the emergence of the digital camera, but the world could have saved itself if it had chosen to adapt to a changing technology. Instead, Kodak held on to its old business until it was too late. Kodak had filed for a patent for one of the first digital cameras all the way back in 1977. However, the company was racking up profits from films and hesitated to introduce the technology to people at the time. Kodak continued paying attention to traditional film cameras, even though it became apparent the market was moving in a digital era. When it eventually realized that it was time to change the strategy, it was already too late, and the company had already started incurring massive losses. This was largely because it was trying to compete with businesses that had been producing digital for years. Please bear with me. Number 10, a controlled burn gets uncontrollable and raises 48,000 acres in New Mexico. This happened in May of 2000 after a controlled burn got out of control in New Mexico and raised 48,000 acres. The Cerro Grande fire had been started to mitigate the wildfire risk at the Bandelier National Monument. However, the fire spread and became unmanageable, leading to the burning down of thousands of acres, including the homes of 400 Los Alamos families. The damages from the fire totaled $1 billion, which the federal government was forced to pay out. The intention of the fire was to preserve the monument, but high winds and drought conditions made it easier for the fire to spread, and the flames burned for more than a month. The Cerro Grande fire may have further been propagated by a policy on logging and overgrazing that left forests with thousands of trees and a thick layer of dropped pine needles, which was ready fuel just waiting for wind and fire. Number 9, Russia sells the Alaska to the U.S. thinking it was a useless wasteland. Around the late 19th century, Russian Emperor Tsar Alexander II did not see the value of Alaska, mostly because it was covered with ice. The Tsar became fearful that the land would forcefully be taken by the United States, and so he decided to sell it for just $7.2 million on March 30, 1867. Russia did not gain much from the sale, since the value of the ruble and the dollar were almost the same. In reality, the country had lost plenty of natural resources worth billions of dollars, but at the time the deal was considered a great achievement in diplomacy. Number 8, and this is probably one that we all have thoughts of. The faulty equipment causes a nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl. This is the only accident in the history of commercial nuclear power to cause deaths resulting from radiation. The disaster happened early in the morning of April 26, 1986 at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant and resulted from a faulty reactor design coupled with human error. 28 reactor staff and emergency workers perished from the radiation and thermal burns. Researchers also believe that the accident was responsible for almost 7,000 cases of thyroid cancer among those who were under 18 years old at the time. The accident may have been caused by after operators went against technical specifications. The workers had decided to run the plant using very low power without taking necessary safety precautions and without informing the safety personnel. The four Chernobyl reactors were pressurized water that were highly unstable at low power. This was mainly because a number of reasons which accelerated the nuclear chain reaction and power output. After the explosion, the fire burned for 10 days, releasing an enormous amount of radiation into the atmosphere. The radioactive material managed to escape the environment because the Chernobyl plant lacked massive containment structures that is present in most nuclear plants today. A total of 31 people died in the accident, while more than 200 others continue to suffer from acute radiation sickness. Some 135,000 persons had to be evacuated from the area after the incident. This was one of the biggest losses in history and totaled $358 billion. I'm not sure how many of you watch some of the History Channel shows, but they've gone back there and walked around that area, and it's just mile after mile of a deserted wasteland. Number 7, an elderly man throws out a lottery ticket worth millions. Excuse the lottery ticket reference here, but just an idea of when people fail. An anonymous woman who used to play the lottery in England had picked up the correct numbers to win EuroMillions, but her husband had thrown away the ticket. The woman had been writing her numbers on a separate sheet of paper before giving her ticket to her husband. The old lady realized only later that the numbers matched those had been given. In fact, she only discovered her win after the ticket remained unclaimed for more than a week. But when she checked her notepad, she couldn't believe it. She was the winner. Sadly, she could not trace the original ticket because it had been dumped by her husband. According to the woman, she had given the ticket to her husband for safekeeping before the EuroMillions draw. She was shocked when she realized that she had the winning numbers, but when she asked her husband for the ticket, he confirmed that he had thrown it away. She had ransacked the house but could not find the original ticket. She even admitted that her husband was prone to losing everything that she gave to him. And this is how an old lady lost $181 million. Number 6, and this is something I think we're seeing a lot of right now. A misleading study convinces parents that vaccines cause autism. Vaccination rates declined significantly when the world was made to believe that vaccines caused autism, all thanks to the findings of a discredited British study that made this unreasonable claim. The mastermind behind this falsehood was Dr. Andrew Wakefield, a medical researcher and British surgeon. He went ahead to publish the study, The Lancet, in 1998, claiming that he had found a connection between autism and vaccines. Wakefield had managed to convince a huge population that childhood vaccines such as rubella, mumps, and measles shots would cause autism. Once the study was published, it spread very fast, instilling fear in medical practitioners and parents. But after a 10-year-long investigation, disentangling Wakefield's research, experts discovered that there was no relationship between vaccines and autism. Due to the paper's scientific limitations, it was retracted in 2010. Researchers had even gone ahead to carry out studies with 500 children, but they did not find any connection. More findings trickled in, and all of them opposed Wakefield's findings. Sadly, the memories of the study remained with the world because today, one out of four parents have been made to believe that vaccines cause autism. This has led to a steady decline in vaccinations. The study has done long-lasting damage to public health. This is the study that gave birth to the anti-vaccine movement that we see today, commonly referred to as anti-vaxxers. Number 5. 20th Century Fox allows George Lucas to keep the merchandising and licensing rights to Star Wars. This is a long reading, and I know you're probably getting worn out from all this text, but some of these things are just important to think about. People that made lots of money, had great positions in very profitable companies, still just not taking advantages of opportunities and making mistakes. It says, it talks about George Lucas and how he was offered money. Said it did not take long before Star Wars became the highest grossing film in history, a title it held until 1982. With its success, Star Wars merchandise brought in massive profits. For example, since 1977, toy licensing alone has recorded a revenue of about $12 billion. Star Wars has been able to make more money from its merchandise than even the film itself. All this came from a dispute they had from Lucas wanting to get a raise and Fox not wanting to pay him. Somebody else that we don't talk about too often with Apple is Ron Wayne. And here, Ron Wayne sells his Apple shares for $800. Ron was one of the original founders of Apple back in 76. At 42 years old, Ron provided the much-needed supervision to his other colleagues, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. He was responsible for drawing the first Apple logo and also wrote the original partnership agreement. He also wrote the Apple I computer user manual. However, Ron's name is rarely mentioned when Apple surfaces in conversations. Ron revealed that he could not stand Jobs and considered him socially awkward and manipulative. I don't think that would be misconstrued, even if you look back at him now. He later admitted that he suspected Wozniak's idea for a personal computer would become successful, but he did not anticipate what Apple has become today. Ron's role was mostly an intermediary between Jobs and Wozniak, but he decided to leave Apple after he could not stomach the fact that Jobs had spent over $1,500 on parts for a product. Wozniak and Jobs invited him back to rejoin them after a few years, but Ron's decision was final. He had left Apple for good. Ron felt like Jobs was a quarrelsome man, and he would easily lose his temper. When he was leaving Apple, Ron sold his 10% stake for $800. Today, that 10% stake would be worth billions of dollars. Another long reading I'm not going to get into here, but basically I'll start the text here. Historians believe that the assassination of Austrian Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie, Duchess of Hohenberg, started World War I. The couple had visited Sarajevo, but little did they know that the Serb terrorists were waiting for them. The terrorists were seeking to revenge Austria's annexation of Bosnia. And where this story talks about is the young man driving, I believe was a 19-year-old, was a young man driver for this couple, and basically made a wrong turn, went into an area where the terrorist was, and they killed everyone. And because of that, says that Loka immediately slammed the brakes when he realized that he'd made an error talking about the driver, but his action caused the car to malfunction. Since everyone in the car was now a defenseless victim, Princip seized the opportunity and opened fire, killing Ferdinand. Sophie was also caught in the crossfire when she tried to cover Ferdinand with her body. The shooting took place on the morning of the 28th of June, 1914, in Sarajevo, and triggered a series of events that led to the start of World War I, which saw some 16 million people losing their lives. Yahoo misses an opportunity to buy Google and Facebook, and another long reading here I'll just summarize there is, once again, a business that was doing very well, that had a lot of the world's attention, had an opportunity to grow and to take advantage of a situation, and they passed it up. As back in the summer of 2002, 2 years before the internet search giant Google went public, when then Yahoo CEO Terry Semel sat together with other officials, he thought the $5 billion was too high. Yet Google's revenue was at $240 million a year, while Yahoo made $837 million yearly. Semel wanted to offer $3 billion, and it goes on to talk about that in action. And finally, we get down to the last one they have here. I think it's probably one of the weakest ones on the list. The merger between Mercedes-Benz and Chrysler. The merger between Mercedes-Benz and Chrysler happened in 1998 at the cost of $37 billion and gave birth to Daimler-Chrysler. However, the merger did not go as planned, and by 2007, Mercedes had to sell Chrysler. Talks about the partnership and how Chrysler was trying to have a higher level brand, but Mercedes-Benz, already being a higher level brand, didn't want to get into the difficulties of the American auto workers, and it caused the things to unravel. It says the merger has been blamed as a mistake by Daimler CEO Dieter Zetsch, the reality that both companies could not achieve global integration because their brands clashed. Appreciate you listening to all that. Like I said, there's a much longer version of all these things online. Maybe excruciating for you to go through again. But it is interesting to look back at history and see how good-meaning companies, good-meaning people, good-meaning nations can make huge mistakes just either based on not having the proper foresight or having the proper vision at the moment. So how do we spin this into a spiritual understanding? As I've got on the board here, every mistake is a lesson. I think you've probably heard teachers and coaches your whole life tell you that every mistake that we made should be an opportunity to learn something. When we fall, we figure out how did we fall, and we try not to do it again. So what has humanity learned in all these years of these 20 different things that I just read for you? In our second lesson, we're going to be looking at five great mistakes in the Bible, and what mistakes, failed opportunities, or failures have you seen in your own life looking back today? It's a question I ask and a question I ask for each one of you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." One of the things I always try to do when I cite Scripture is to underline words that maybe we don't pay special attention to. Notice where it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We've talked about this before, but I don't know how much we've paid attention to it. If we're yoked with Christ, just like you have a couple of oxen or maybe horses, the smarter animal, the more experienced animal, is going to know what to do. That yoke is going to go with that animal. Whereas the other animal, the younger or less experienced animal, is not going to know what to do. And it may try to fight to get away from the yoke, and it doesn't want to listen to the wisdom of that one beside it. But if it pays attention when that larger animal knows that I'm being touched on the shoulder by the farmer, I need to turn to the left or to the right, or to slow down, or to be careful going downhill, and that yoke is holding your neck still, eventually you realize that smarter animal has understanding, and I need to pay attention to it. Christ is saying a lot here when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So just like all these mistakes, these potential failures in taking action, or in just losing out here, many people could have actually done better had they paid attention. And the question I leave for all of us at this moment, what are we going to do about it now? What are we going to look at our lives and see the mistakes that we've made? Maybe they didn't cause a people to fall or a nuclear reactor to burn down, or we didn't miss an opportunity to buy a company when it was cheap and then we went out of business later. But we've all experienced things in our lives where we had an opportunity to do something and failed to do it. Or we were ready to do something good for God or for Christ or for the church and we didn't take advantage of that. So this morning, I know it was an awful lot of history, an awful lot of text to listen to, but maybe those pictures and those events in history can help you to see things in a way that we could apply those things spiritually. And again, as I pointed out in the second lesson, we're going to look at some Bible examples of a very similar situation. So if there's something in your life that you feel that you've been dealing with, a mistake or a lost opportunity or a failure, and you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here for you, and we're here if those that are not a child of God now would like to be one. Please stand as we sing.